You've landed a Mom Swipes Left, a podcast with two middle-aged women who, if in the middle of the night a teenager stands over our bed, is going to show that teenager a thing or two about a thing or two. On today's show, we have some weird unsolved mysteries. Enjoy!
Welcome back to Mom Swipes Left. This is episode 237. I am your host, Jen.
And I'm your host, Carol.
Carol.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Really?
We're all gonna fucking die in a fiery hell death quite soon. Probably Dude, within our lifetime.
You just reminded me of a fantastic story I heard at work.
What?
At the work that you don't work at anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say who told it to me.
Okay.
But it was David. So... And I know this is going to sound like an urban legend because it was his college friend's father-in-law.
But that's how those stories go.
His college friend's father-in-law lives in Arizona. The man tottered out to get his mail. Tarred driveway.
Yeah, fell down.
11 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning or whatever time 11 o'clock is during the daylights.
Yeah.
His foot got stuck in the soft tar. Fell down. Got stuck.
Yeah.
Burned to death.
To death?
Died.
Okay.
In the driveway.
I believe that 110%. But also, I read an actual story in the New York Times of an old lady who also fell down in her driveway. It didn't talk about the melted tar, but that makes all the sense.
Yeah.
It was there for hours screaming. Finally, somebody found her. Second degree burns.
I'm surprised that's all she had.
Yeah.
The paramedics estimated that the tar was pushing over 150 degrees. Which makes sense. If it's black tar.
True.
And the outside temperature is 110.
That's terrible and horrifying.
But also fantastic.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine the pain?
No.
And he had to have been face down because he couldn't even call for help.
Oh my God.
Maybe he smothered in tar first.
That is super sad. Mm. I feel for the people in the Arizonas right now because that shit's nuts. And if anybody wants to talk about how nothing's really happening and this is just a natural whatever, eat my twat.
Well, I was having a conversation with my mother, who leans left, but back in the day, like when I was in high school and like a raging liberal and climate change and what's the Rachel Carson, Silent Spring and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, Jennifer, stop being a hysteric. You know, like
right. And back then it felt like maybe a little hysterical.
Right.
But now?
Just today we were driving the car. She's like, where do you think this is going to end up? I said, I think we can all assume how this is going to end. Not like you guys didn't have any warning way back in the 70s. Jesus.
And?
She was like, well, how are we supposed to know?
Well, because everyone was telling you. Mm. I had a conversation with Joel this morning in which I said, I think we're all going to fucking die. And he was like, oh yeah, no doubt. Yep.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think it's going to happen in our lifetime. He was like, well, we might not all die in our lifetime, but we're going to suffer a lot. And then I said, why am I working so hard?
I don't know.
I should be having more fun. And then I took the fucking day off and went to the beach.
Is that what precipitated that?
A little bit, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Shitless grievances. Have we any?
I don't know, Jenny. Do you have any?
I have a little one. Again, can't go into it too much, but... let's just say we're in act two.
Without much of an intermission. It was a short intermission.
Mental health crisis.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is just a two-act play.
That would be great. And then we could just be done.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm in a production of Into the Woods. Honest to God. Remember when I said that I thought 2023 was going to be a bad year?
In fact, I think you said, I'm going to die in 2023.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure you went down that road. Yeah.
How about this? Charlie, am I gonna die in 2023?
Hovering.
Jesus.
He's not gonna answer that. Look at it.
Wait. Because I have a funny feeling about 2023. So, that's been going on this week. Wish I could tell you more, but I think you can all fill in the gaps.
Infer.
So, my daughter, Sophie, came home from her month-long job. Poor kid dropped into this house in the middle of the ultimate shitstorm.
Yeah,
right?
Catastrophe.
Feel so bad for her. But she and I were talking today, and she said, How would you describe the last couple of days as a fart?
I actually do enjoy a silent fart.
From you or from somebody else?
No, from me. I don't enjoy farts from other people. I mean, I like sounder farts from other people, okay? Mm-hmm. But for my own self, I would probably choose a silent.
Well, who wouldn't? Unless you're trying to
only because upstage. I feel like they're more satisfying. They're hotter.
Wait, why is hotter a positive?
I don't know. It's just something.
Ew. Question for you.
Yeah.
Are you the type of person that sits on the couch, silent farts, and then wafts it up to your nose to smell it?
I have never done that.
Swear to God.
Swear to God. Huh. It just wafts naturally.
Okay, but do you sniff it hard?
No. I don't like the smell of my own farts.
Most people do.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Why?
It's the same reason why I stuff my nose in my panties every time I pee.
Do you stuff your nose in your armpit and like it?
I stuff my nose in my armpit and I don't like it, but I want to know how bad it is.
Like right now, how is it?
It's pretty good. It's a little oniony.
Totally neutral.
Really?
Which makes no sense because I went to the beach.
This one's neutral. My right's got a little bit of a little tang. Which makes sense, actually.
Why?
Because I apply it with my left hand.
Oh.
And so it's not quite so dexterous.
Got it.
I probably just dab it. All right. So Friday was the shittiest day that I've had in a long time. So the fart that I would have for it would be... Do you hear that at the end? It's like your bowels are boiling.
Yeah.
But you it's so tight.
It just gives up.
Like you have diarrhea, but you can't get rid of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. I see it. I feel it really. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Super tight.
Woo.
Saturday. Saturday, I took the morning and I went to a new Barnes & Noble, which was disappointing because it was packed and they don't have a cafe. Which is a huge fall.
It's ridiculous.
I had a whole vision of me.
Why are you even at Barnes & Noble at that point?
Exactly.
Just be Barnes.
I mean, it was so packed, I couldn't even find a seat to sit down in some little nook.
Ruined.
Which is my favorite thing to do is just read books for free.
Exactly.
I guess I could go to a library, but...
That's dumb.
I had this whole vision of myself.
Then you're just sitting with homeless people.
Who are probably more interesting than the people
probably
that were
more
there.
Literate.
Yeah. So that was a disappointment. Then I came home and we were supposed to go to a cookout, which turned to be very awkward because of this emotional state of some of the people I was with.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday, because we had a lot of lobster and a lot of butter.
Okay.
Saturday was...
I like the little end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, because then we had a little fight once we got home at night, you know, it just like tips it off. Sunday was all kinds of fucked up. Sunday was getting woken up at 4:30 in the morning by pacing and muttering. Me's kind of dozing on the couch, keeping track of people.
Mm.
Sophie coming home and lots of crying and a visit from my ex and then a sheriff and then a hospital visit.
Yeah.
And so if I were to describe Sunday in a fart,
yes,
it would go like this.
I totally get it.
Did you read it? Did you hear it?
Yes.
Yep.
Started out as just
like super tense.
Yeah.
What the fuck is gonna happen? I don't even know where this day is going.
And it just
and then just you empty your bowels.
Yep. Wow. Okay. So I think we should institute an MSL procedure. That is, when anyone, including the people listening, have just a really intense day, and that can be good or it can be bad, that you try to define that day with a fart.
Yeah.
And please call us.
And give us the story of the fart. Like, the fart has to have a story.
Tell us the story of the fart, and then tell us what your day fart was. Yeah. I love it. It's beautiful.
Thank you for humoring me.
You are welcome.
Next up, notable news. What are we singing, Carol? You came up with the song this week.
Well, I thought of an old ditty called The Sweet Home Alabamas.
Oh,
and here's a funny story about that. I am neither Southern.
Nor sweet.
Nor sweet. I also don't really like that band. Lynyrd Skynyrd. That said, it's a fucking good song.
Oh, I kind of like the Lynyrd Skynyrds.
I mean, they're okay.
Okay.
There's sort of the try that in a small town of the 70s. Yeah. You know, but what's weird about that song is that when Joel and I first got together, for some reason, everywhere we went, that song would be playing.
No way.
We'd go to the grocery store, Sweet Home Alabama. We'd be in the car, Sweet Home Alabama. We'd be at a restaurant, Sweet Home Alabama. It was so weird. That is my ringtone for Joel on my phone.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
It makes no sense. But that was sort of our song. So,
ready?
Big news keeps on happening. We know where and what and when. And we just keep on fattening. God, we need some more skin. Sweet notable news. Where the headlines are good. Sweet notable news. We'd be famous if we could.
Perfect. All right, Carol, you're going to take it off here.
Oh.
Not your top. Weird food update.
There's a thing that happens every August, Jenny. I didn't know about it, but...
Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
God, Nathan's hot dogs are good. No, it's National Mustard Day.
Oh.
It's on August 5th.
I do love myself a mustard.
Everyone loves a mustard, but no, do you not everyone. Want...
Not everyone loves mustard.
Well, that's ridiculous.
You just reminded me. Pause. Side jog. Skittles just came out with a mustard-flavored Skittles.
Dude, that's my story.
That's my story. Oh, me and the asshole. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to scoop you.
It's a limited edition French's mustard flavored Skittles.
I think it's going to be good.
The French's team is reportedly traveling up the East Coast in a mustard mobile. A bright yellow, custom designed vintage bus with giant mustard Skittles on top.
Ho, ho, ho. Do you get that? Because it's French's?
I do. Okay. I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. In the past, they've had mustard ice cream. Mm. Last year was mustard donuts. This is the fifth time French's has gone all out for the unique flavorful innovations to celebrate National Mustard Day. We haven't had a food update in a long time.
Right, that's true.
This came across my desk and I was like, why? Why mustards?
Why? I would try the mustard Skittle and the mustard ice cream.
You'd try it, but you wouldn't fucking like it.
Well, that's why they make it limited edition.
It's disgusting.
I actually think a meringue pie with a little drizzle of mustard on top might be good.
I don't want anything with mustard that's sweet. That's disgusting.
Well, you don't know.
I kind of...
Have you ever had honey mustard?
I have had honey mustard on a wing. I've not had a sugary, candy-coated mustard ball called a Skittle. That's disgusting. Then I started looking up other food things because it's been a while, right? We really haven't had...
We
used to have people sending us food releases all the time. Apparently, they didn't like what we were saying about
it. I guess not.
Limited edition truffles.
Yeah.
Feature comparte, which is some fancy... It's probably not even how you say it.
How do you spell it?
C-O-M-P-A-R-T-E with the S. Comparte.
I guess.
It's some kind of fancy-ass chocolate place that like sells chocolates for like $100. This is a white chocolate.
Ew, you lost me right there.
Well, exactly.
Mm.
I can't imagine it getting really any worse. Formed into truffles that not only resemble Velveeta's iconic orange-hued shells and cheese, but are also filled with the brand's signature cheese sauce.
Well, cold Velveeta is not the tastiest thing I've ever had.
It's not just that it's cold, it's surrounded by sweet white chocolate. It's cheese, yo.
Again, I'm not into the white chocolate.
I don't like it. I don't care for it.
You know what I made the other night to like soothe myself? Such a trigger eater.
Mm-hmm.
I made Annie's white cheddar mac and cheese.
Oh, that is so good.
I added half a container of cream cheese and ketchup.
Ugh.
Stirred it all around.
You lose me at the ketchup.
It was so fucking good. I ate the entire box. And I think it was family size.
I would have eaten the whole box without the ketchup. I don't know why you're so interested in the ketchup.
It's the sweet.
No, dude. No.
I'm just telling you.
This fall.
Yeah.
Upcoming. We've got limited edition pumpkin spice Spam.
Ew. That is... So I love Spam.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of pumpkin spice. So that's where they lose me.
It's been infused with cinnamon, pumpkin, and nutmeg.
That's gross.
Fucking nasty.
So
gross. What if you took it out, right, and you stirred it up into like sort of a pate?
A tea? Oh.
And then you put that on like a certain kind of like rye bread. That might be okay.
Ew.
Well, anyways, it's $5 at Walmart. So go get it fall.
But I do love Spam.
I mean, everybody loves Spam.
Another side jog. I was soothing myself one other night this past week. I ate 2 cans of corned beef hash, Mary. Hormel.
Oh, shit. Whole thing. That is a lot of salt. How's your high blood pressure?
I have not taken it.
Delicious, though.
Oh, my God. Fucking heaven in a can. Heaven in 2 cans.
Moving on.
Okay.
This came across my desk. Mm. A Florida manatee dies.
Oh.
Due to injuries from having anal sex.
Male or female?
Let me just read you the
story. Okay.
The Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium in Florida said its resident manatee, Hugh, had natural yet increased mating behavior with no other than his brother,
Avava
Buffet, on the day of his death.
Wow.
His own. It not only is this a tale of a perforated colon in a manatee.
And homosex.
It's his actual brother.
It's like incestomo sex.
After initially sharing in April that Hugh had passed away unexpectedly at age 38, the Marine Research Institute is now explaining that Hugh likely died after sustaining injuries from having sex with his brother, Buffet.
Who named him Buffet?
I don't know. On the day of Hugh's passing, Hugh and Buffet engage in natural, they say, yet increased mating behavior observed and documented in manatees, both in managed care and in the wild. So here's my question to you.
Yeah.
This is not only okay, it's natural for Hugh and Buffet, two brothers, two dudes, two manatees, to fuck so hard that one of them perishes. And yet in the same state.
Yeah, right?
You cannot have a book that talks about being gay.
Right?
Unbelievable.
So did Buffet have anything to say about this?
As a result, Hugh sustained a 14.5 centimeter long tear in the ventral wall of his colon.
Pause. 5.7 inches.
Dude.
In the assholeage.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
Hugh and Buffet's heightened mating activity occurred amid a 2-month period of seasonal behavioral changes, including, but not limited to, an increase in sexual behavior.
And warm waters.
Probably.
I mean, that has to do with, I mean, it was like 101 degrees in the fucking water.
And they're just hard as fuck.
Did do they provide them with lube? No, seriously. If they know this is going to happen,
yeah.
Why don't they give them some lubage?
That is a really good point. And they opted not to separate them because, quote, separation has previously caused negative effects in both manatees.
So how many people do you think are watching this action?
Right?
And is getting off on it?
Yeah. Honest to God, they're like, oh, he's going, Oh
wow.
Yep,
that's hard.
There it is.
Ooh, there's a tear. He doesn't seem to mind it. Oh, now he's fucking the tear.
So, however, vets noticed a change in Hugh's behavior on April 29th, and he later became unresponsive in his habitat, otherwise known as dead. The mammal, who arrived to Moat from Zoo Tampa in 1996, died that day. Yeah, he did. Our team is forever grateful for the time we had with Hugh and his contribution to manatee conservation. You killed him. You killed him.
Wait, that makes me wonder. Do you think there's ever a human serial killer who just fucked other people in the butt?
Until they died.
Because it'd be internal bleeding.
Yeah.
You leave.
Yeah.
The person internally bleeds out.
But, I mean, an autopsy would say that they got butt fucked to death.
Would it?
Yeah.
Well, if they just have internal bleeding and they're like, oh, organs exploded.
Well, I think there's a difference between internal organ bleeding and your perforated colon of 5 inches.
Well, pause.
Okay.
I actually worked with a person who came in one night having had a long day of butt fucking.
Yeah.
Complained.
Yes.
Of like a sort of gastro pain.
Yeah.
Turned out his spleen had gotten cracked or something.
That is a sex I have never had. Like, well, I don't even.
I don't know if I want it.
No, I don't want it. What I am saying is just I've never had the ability to say, I got railed so hard last night I cracked my spleen, is all I'm saying. And I probably never will.
No.
So touche.
Sorry, Joel. You know a ton of Florida brothers are fucking each other in the asshole. Let's have that. This is a PSA, boys.
Yep.
Lube.
So much lube.
You cannot go wrong with lube. And then if you get the pains the next day, maybe take yourself to a quick care. Did you see this news? Nice old lady.
Okay.
Wakes up in the middle of the night to see a teenage man standing over her bed.
Ooh.
When she woke up, he said he was going to cut her.
Whoa.
And then she fought, whatever. That was the story I read 4 days ago.
Wait, how is that just a whatever, then she fought?
She like kicked him or something. And then, well, so the news story I read was that there was this intruder.
Yeah.
Didn't steal anything. He didn't do anything. He was just standing there.
Yeah.
Which is one of the scariest fucking.
It's more menacing, yeah.
Because I mean, you remember, we've talked about this. My kids would do that.
Yeah.
Because they were sick or they had a nightmare. They wouldn't wake me up. They'd just stand there in their little kid face looking at me.
No.
Fucking the stuff of horror shows. So that triggers me. But then that was it. He ran away. They had no idea who it was. Today, 87-year-old woman.
Whoa.
From Brunswick. 87, man.
Get it.
Fought off an intruder who broke into her home in the middle of the night, threatened to stab her, and then attacked her. So there's more to this story now.
Okay.
Marjorie Perkins. Was asleep in her Beverly Drive home in the Bay Bridge Estates neighborhood around 2 a.m. last Wednesday when she woke to a man standing over her. He said, "I'm going to cut you," said Perkins, who was alone in the home. And I thought to myself, well, if he's going to cut, I'm going to kick. So I jumped into my shoes. Why did she have her shoes? Like, like break this bottle in emergency.
I jumped in my shoes.
Perkins said the teen started hitting her and she reached for a chair to use as a shield. That helped, she said. Thank God I had the chair between us. It would have been worse. No one heard her and the attack continued. And she said the teen punched her forehead, causing a bruise.
Oh.
Bad aim.
Yeah, dude.
She must have been moving fast.
Right?
Like, just fucking
kill it, Marjorie.
He kept punching me and pushing me, she said, adding she kicked at him and used the chair to push him away.
Eventually,
the teen got tired. And went to the kitchen. He wasn't wearing pants or shoes. And so she fucked the shit out of him. His pants and shoes were in a pile next to a window air conditioning unit.
Strange.
Along with a knife. She said the teen broke in by moving the air conditioner's side panel and squeezing through the gap.
Oh, he must be a little skinny.
Yeah, I know,
bitch.
I was going to say. I kept saying, you need to get out. You need help, she said. He said he was awful hungry and hadn't had anything to eat for quite a while.
She was like, well, let me fix you up something, honey.
And so I said, well, there's a box of peanut butter and honey crackers. You can have the whole box. And I gave him 2 containers of Ensure and I gave him 2 tangerines.
So adorable.
And so while he was eating, she dialed 911.
Oh my God.
The teen left before the police arrived, but a Brunswick police dog tracked the teen a few blocks away and he was taken into custody and taken to the Long Creek Youth Development Center in South Portland. Faces charges, including burglary, criminal threatening, assault, and consuming liquor as a minor. Here's a development. This is just updated.
Breaking news. A week late.
Yeah. Perkins said the teen is 17 years old, but police described him as a young adult and have declined to release his identity or age. But about 10 years ago, the same person mowed her lawn to make extra money, Perkins said.
Can't trust anyone.
He did a darn good job. She said, I hope he gets help.
Oh, she's sweet.
Right? Isn't she?
Yeah, she gave him crackers and shit after he punched her in the forehead.
Reinforced her air conditioner with screws. But
I love her.
She's super sweet.
And also kicked some ass. The kid got tired.
He got tired of fighting the old lady. People underestimate the scrappiness and anger of old
the
women.
Absolute sheer rage.
They don't know.
They don't. It's so true.
So anyways, that reminds me of another story. I'm not sure if you're going to remember this. Do you remember the Cape Intruder?
No.
So Cape Elizabeth in Maine, which is not far from you. Like,
no, it's
just around the bend.
A town over. It's very fancy, though.
Cape Elizabeth, Maine is generally a peaceful place to live. But for a brief period in 2005, locals were gripped by fear and confusion. Between August 2005 and February 2006, several Cape Elizabeth residents woke up to find a young man staring at them.
What?
At times, the man, suspected to be in his 20s, was looming directly above the sleeping person.
Oh, that's just so creepy.
And as soon as the victim woke up, the youngster fled the home. That's it. The Cape Intruder, as he was dubbed, never physically harmed or even touched anyone. He never broke or stole a thing. He just stood and stared.
Somehow that's worse.
I know, right?
It's worse.
When reporting the incidents to the police, many of the victims felt like the young man looked like somebody they knew. And two of them even named the same suspect, but no one was ever arrested in the break-ins. The staring incidents stopped as suddenly as they began, and whoever the cape intruder was is still out there.
Damn.
So be wary, Carol.
I will.
Isn't that fucking
And
freaky?
Now he would be like a man. Just standing over your bed.
Yeah, like 35.
Which is creepier.
Is it?
Yeah.
I still maintain a kid.
A child.
Yeah.
A teenager? Not scary.
Shocking.
I will kick your ass.
You know what would be even scarier than a little kid? An old man, an ashy gray man in a wheelchair.
Well, I told you about when I was in the mental hospital.
Oh, the old lady.
The old lady who would come and stand over my bed.
But wasn't she your roommate?
Bed. Sure. But she'd come over to my bed and hang her weird googly hair down over and go, oh. I mean, nothing is scarier than that. I'm sorry.
Have you ever
Why did she do that?
She didn't like you.
What was happening?
Did you ever look her up?
No.
You found her? And then you went into her house?
And she'd be dead by now for sure. Really? There was also a kid.
She did probably was only in her 40s. You know that, right?
She probably was younger than I am now.
Yeah.
And oh my fuck. Are you ready for a Carol's childhood memory?
Should we sing it in?
Carol's fucked up childhood memory.
It's been so long.
Did I tell you about the other characters in that ward? So there was a girl who had bulimia, which I'd never heard of. I knew of anorexia because Karen Carpenter.
So basically like they're the fat girls with eating disorders.
She wasn't fat. She wasn't bony skinny either, but she would always be vomiting up her food. She would binge and purge, right?
What was she binging on? Didn't they like limit her?
Probably in the hospital, but that's what she was in there
gotcha.
And also all kinds of other ailments. She was nuts.
Was she your age?
She was a little older than me. So she was probably 20, I would say, and I was 14. So she locked herself in the bathroom, which how does that even happen in a mental ward? And tried to kill herself. It was like real big doings. There was a lot of hoopla.
Wait, what did she try to kill herself with?
I don't really remember.
Because what do they have? I mean, they strip you of everything.
I mean, I don't know. This place was a fucking shit show. I don't know. I think she was trying to cut herself, but I don't remember with what.
I mean, nowadays, if you just hang your weight on a door, alarms go off.
Well, not so much back in the 1984s.
Wait, can you remind our listeners why you were in a mental institution?
You mean way back?
Well, why were you in a mental institution?
I don't know. I was depressed. I was a kid in the 80s. It sucked. My brothers were like sexual predators. Mm. And I was going to this shrink who had me play checkers with him. And then one day he was like, do you ever think about killing yourself? And I was like, yeah. Mm. And then he was like, okay. And shipped off I was to the Waterbury Hospital.
Wait, can you describe just... Because this is my wheelhouse right now.
Okay.
Describe the shipping off. Did you ever even leave the office?
I think I did. He convinced my father that it was the right thing to bring me there because I was suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my father wanted to do what was right for me and brought me to this ward.
And did you know where you were headed?
No, I don't think I did. I don't know. I can't remember. It was so long ago. What was cool about that place at that time period was that you could smoke. And I was like a 14-year-old smoker, of course. Yeah. So we just smoked all day long.
Where'd you just get your butts?
My parents must have brought them. I mean, I don't know. Or there was one of those like...
Oh, vending
like
machines?
Like vending machine cigarette
Sweet.
Things. There was the bulimic. She was my roommate. I mean, I wrote a story in college about her masturbating during the night because I could hear
it.
Yeah.
Was it loud?
It was just a lot of
Sloppy?
Rubbing. Rubbing.
How do you stand that? I can't even stand when Rue licks her hot spot.
I didn't know what to... What else was I going to do?
Knock
I'm
it off?
I'm in a fucking mental institution. I'm 14 years old.
Yes. Gross.
There were a lot of roaches that crawled across my pillows and stuff. There was a guy who talked to himself. And so I'd walk by his room and he'd just be animating like nobody's business to absolutely nobody. Because it was adults and kids, men and women, all in one horrific hallway.
Fucking titty cut follies, baby.
And that guy, the guy who was talk to himself, also tried to molest me my first day.
Describe.
So I was sitting on my bed, sad. Probably crying or something.
Sure.
And he came in and sat down next to me, which was totally okay, by the way, mm-hmm. in 1984. And he started to try to feel me up.
Tits or leg? I think
it was my poussoir.
You went right for the pussy? You went
right for it. Dude. And I was like, oh, hells no, crazy fuck. And I don't think I told anybody, but I definitely like shooed him out of the room.
And did he go away muttering?
Yeah, he did. He did. And then there was a kid who thought that he was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he.
There's always that kid.
100% believed it. Mm-hmm. So he was very convincing. I was like, for a little while, I was like, well, maybe, I don't know. Then there was a kid who was in there because he had fucked an adult woman.
He was in there.
Yes.
Whoa. Welcome to the early 80s.
100%. And he was really into Boston. So whenever I hear
Jesus Christ.
Anything from Boston, I think of him.
I can't stand, just a side jog. I don't know why, but I can't stand any of those bands that have to do with travel or destinations.
Really? So like Asia?
Boston, Kansas,
Chicago,
Foreigner, any of those. Can't stand them.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
I was really, I liked Foreigner a lot as a kid. And then, okay, I'm going to wrap it up. One other kid, he was a rich kid. He was staying with his grandparents because of course he was because his parents didn't want him. Staying with his grandparents and he drove their lawnmower down the highway.
That's it?
It's the 80s, baby.
That's nuts.
If you were a bad kid or doing anything that was at all disruptive in the in the pen you went. Or even
they suspected that you were gay.
That was the cast of characters. I'm sure there were more, but I don't remember.
Unfortunately, laws have changed that.
Nowadays, you can have an actual mental illness. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you got to go in 4 days. Your insurance doesn't pay.
Right. You're out. Yep. I don't care if you don't have any place to be.
Bye.
Yeah.
Here's some slippers and some jammies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Take care.
And a cab ride home.
Wow.
Well, that was, I love.
I don't even know how that started.
Carol's childhood memories. Well, I'm still talking about these mysteries that have not been solved.
Yes. That was a side jock.
Loved it. This one I never heard of. You remember Max Headroom?
Mm-hmm.
So it's called the Max Headroom Incident.
Totally know what this is.
Do you really? Oh. November 22nd, 1987.
Mm-hmm.
People in Chicago watching the 9 p.m. newscast on WGN-TV. Yes, go.
Got interrupted by a guy who looks like Max Headroom.
Yes.
Saying weird shit. And I can't remember what he said.
It doesn't say, just a Max Headroom mask, erratic movements accompanied by a loud buzzing noise.
I remember it so well.
Did you see
Obviously, I didn't see it live, but I remember the replays
of
it.
No shit. This is all news to me. It lasted 17 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
By that point, the channel's engineers regained control of the signal, went back to the news. But then, at 11:20 p.m., the signal hijacking happened again.
So awesome.
This time on WTTW, as the masked man overtook a Doctor Who episode.
Oh my God, that's so great. Which,
you know, every one of those Doctor Who people, stoned to the gills.
And just
loving it.
Jizzed in their pants at that moment. Oh, right?
The masked hijacker went on a bizarre rant, during which he complained about nerds, pretended to defecate.
Yes.
Do you know all this?
I do remember this.
Holy shit. Sang songs, and ultimately revealed his bare buttocks, while a masked woman spanked him with a fly swatter.
Correct.
After 90 seconds. That's a long time. That's a
long time of air.
Minute and a half, people, for you who speak American. The pirates cut their signal and Doctor Who continued as if nothing had happened.
So good.
But to this day, nobody knows who sent the outlandish broadcast. But I think that's awesome.
So do people on this podcast know who Max Headroom was?
I hope so.
I don't think they necessarily
do. Well, maybe
do.
I don't know who Max Headroom is.
It was a shtick played by an actor, and it was supposedly a computer-generated person.
Right.
AI. It was not, though. It's like the opposite of now. He debuted on Channel 4 in the British-made cyberpunk TV movie Max Headroom 20 Minutes into the Future.
Huh.
There was an actual Max Headroom show that showed music videos.
So when did I first...
He became a global spokesperson for New Coke. So he was in all those ads.
Okay, but wasn't he also in a Dire Straits?
No.
Dude, I feel like I saw this guy in a Dire Straits
video. Of course you do. That was his whole thing, was to be imprinted on your brain.
Okay, so let me tell you where he's imprinted.
Okay.
Dire Straits.
Okay.
Square Pegs.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like he was on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I don't think he was on any of those things, which is incredible. And it's incredible that you even remember Square Pegs.
Oh, that was a fantastic show.
It's a fucking great show. It was a great show.
Oh, you know what? I'm mistaking him for Genie.
That's Max Headroom. Okay. He was a fake AI guy. Then somebody recreated and did a spoof, which is pretty great.
Moving on. The Circleville letters.
Don't know that.
In 1977, the residents of Circleville, Ohio, began receiving strange letters. They could only be described as hate mail, and many revealed dirty details about the recipients' lives.
Ooh.
The majority of the letters were addressed to Mary Gillespie, a school bus driver. They accused her of having an affair with the local school superintendent.
That's not salacious enough.
But this was 1977.
How about an affair with one of the bus kids?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. One letter was also sent to Mary's husband, Ron, and said he better stop that affair or he was going to die.
To die?
Mm-hmm.
Over an affair that he wasn't even having?
He was not having. Shit. Each of the letters bore the same distinctive handwriting, and they were also postmarked from nearby Columbus. The case turned deadly when the threat to Ron Gillespie's life was fulfilled.
Fulfilled?
Ron, who had told his children that he was going to go confront the writer, died in a car crash. The revolver that he had been carrying had been fired once, but at who? In 1983, the letters were still coming. Mary noticed a sign on a school fence with an obscene message about her daughter. And when she went to remove it, she found a pistol hooked up to a booby trap.
What?
The same year, Ron's sister's husband, Paul, was sent to prison for writing the letters and setting up
Shut
the booby
up.
Trap. Yet, even with him behind bars, someone kept sending the letters.
Mother dick.
The identity of the sender remains unknown.
So they kept the dude in prison?
Yeah, you think
even though the letters kept coming?
I know. Some suspect Mary herself sent the letters in order to murder her husband, but no one knows.
I don't buy it.
Good story, though. I've never heard it.
Fuck, that is a good story.
All right, last one.
Okay.
The coast of the Salish Sea in British Columbia, Canada, is a beautiful region with forests, small islands, and for some reason, severed human feet.
Oh.
On August 20th, 2007, a young girl discovers a discarded sneaker on a beach. Much to her horror, the shoe contains a disembodied
foot. Did you just say disembodied?
A shoe contained a disembodied... Okay. A shoe? Wait. The shoe? You just take over.
The shoe.
Contained.
A
disembodied foot. Just do it.
Say it.
I'm sorry.
The shoe contained a disembodied foot.
God, I envy the ease of your non-handicap. Since then, people have found at least 20 other feet at the shores of the sea. The most recent foot floated ashore January 1st, 2019.
What the dick?
Not only is the abundance of severed feet bizarre, but so is the question of whether or not a crime has taken place.
Right.
According to official investigators, most of the feet came from people who died either in accidents or through suicide.
They died at sea or they were lost at sea, like they fell off a boat, nobody ever found them.
I thought, okay, that actually makes sense because the way I read it was that these are people that died from some cause, an accident
and then they
or
just,
suicide, and then their feet show up in the water. That's the magical world I live in.
All right, so if somebody is, for instance, lost off their boat, they just don't come home, and they're like, well, they were fishing.
Yeah.
And then a shark eats their body.
Yeah, but they're not going to just sever it at the ankle.
You don't know. Maybe it's just natural decomposition. You don't know. How the fuck do you know how a body decomposes in the water?
Even the police have admitted that it's very strange that people keep only finding severed feet with no trace of the rest of the corpse. So they don't know the corpse. So how do they know if it was an accident?
That's true.
Goddamn writing. And since only a few of the feet's previous owners have been identified, it's impossible to know how some of them died.
Then fuck all.
Who cares?
Someone.
Ooh, look at these toenails.
Wants everything but one foot.
I'm on a site, and this is clickbait, but check out these toenails. Look at that one. That one looks like a little Oreo.
I'm so afraid of that.
No, what's the pasta that's like a tiny little circle?
Right.
Look it up. No, seriously, I need to know because...
Is it a cini?
No. It makes me want to eat it.
Oh, wait, here. There's every kind of pasta.
Ditalini?
Digitalini.
No, it's ditalini.
Ditalini. That's what I'm talking about. Ooh, that's looking like a tasty ditalini. I think that's all we got.
I think that's it.
Socials?
Please visit us on our socials at all of our socials. Also, visit us on our website at momswipeslift.com, where you will not find show notes because we don't fucking care anymore.
We ain't got time for that shit.
I don't got time for it. But if you become a member of our Facebook group, the Mom Swipes Left Nation, I will be posting shit on there instead.
Okay.
Get your ass to Facebook. I know nobody wants to be on there.
Yeah.
But for now, that's where we are. Also, call us on our telephone, 207-L201. That's EL as in the Spanish.
Thank you, freaks, for listening. We will see you next week. Goodbye.